At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
A warmer friendly hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Ghost Ghost Hoops with myself, Craigie Spears, and now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast, and got a great podcast for you. The gentlemen over there at the three man weave all season long have provided terrific content. Matt, Jim, and Kai always bring it whenever they're on this podcast. Today it's Kai McKean who's going to be joining me. He's out there in the great state of Illinois. He's actually going to be in New Orleans for the Final Four next week, so we're going to be chatting with him about what he's going to be eating over there. That is going to be about 30 seconds worth of the conversation, but the more important part of that conversation is going to be the four Sweet 16 games that we have going on, and starting in a few days, once we wind up getting the Final Four set, there's not going to be a lot of games to handicap, so we're going to be taking a little bit more of a look forward at the offseason, all these guys entering into the transfer portal. We've got over 750 already, so boy oh boy, it is just insane. We've seen a lot of coaching movement as well, so I'm going to ask him a question or two about what we've been seeing with that regard as well, but moreover, the big thing with him is just getting his take on everything that we're going to be seeing for this Friday with these Sweet 16 games. And then in the final segment, I am going to be giving you guys my picks and analysis for all four Sweet 16 games, all four sides, all four totals, and a little something I like to call bank shots. First things first, always do love to be able to answer Twitter questions on this podcast. You've got one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, maybe does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline, and the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you read this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Most of the questions I wound up getting from you guys is, why are the referees so terrible? And unfortunately, I don't have an answer for you. So I am not able to answer something in which I don't know. Regardless of who you're a fan of, I would say we deserve a little bit of better officiating. I would argue that the officiating hasn't necessarily determined a lot of results in these games. It has made it a little bit more herky-jerky, though, to say the least. Hopefully the NCAA winds up reviewing some of this in the offseason, because it has been a little bit rough, and it was certainly rough for our good friend Chet Holmgren yesterday. So let's take a look back at everything that we wound up seeing from Thursday's Sweet 16 action. Try to find some trends and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
The early session wound up seeing a pair of unders, and you had one favorite and you had one underdog wind up coming through. Villanova, they wind up covering as a favorite by a count of 63-55. Now, you did wind up having Hunter Dickinson get his, did a good job with 15 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, but Villanova really did a good job of being able to bottle up this Michigan team from beyond the arc, 6 of 18 from 3, and free throw shooting, it was very important in this game. A reason why Michigan did not cover, 7 of 14 at the free throw line. A reason why Villanova did, 10 of 12 at the free throw line. Villanova, number one team in all of college basketball in terms of free throw shooting percentage, and Colin Gillespie, he played like a fifth-year senior. Now, he did wind up having a little bit of a bad turnover towards the end of this game, but 12 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 turnover, went 4 of 10 from 3-point range. Everyone else on Villanova went 5 of 20 from 3-point range, so that was incredibly important. And for Villanova, they won the turnover battle. They had 7 of them. Meanwhile, our good friends over there in Michigan, they wound up having 8, and you did wind up having 3 of those go against Devontae Jones, who wound up having only 7 points in this contest. So Villanova goes to the Elite Eight. Arkansas, they wind up pulling it off as 10.5 point underdogs in the DK Nation pick of Arkansas with the points. Well, you didn't need any. 74-68 the final. I think it's very fair to say that our good friend Chet Holmgren did not wind up getting the benefit of the whistle. Winds up following up. You could debate that you wound up having 2 or 3 fouls that were highly questionable in this one off of him. 11 points, 14 rebounds, pair of blocks for him, but regardless, certainly was not the best of nights for Drew Timmy either. He wound up having 5 turnovers, did wind up having 25 points, but had to love what you wound up seeing out of Jalen Williams. In my opinion, he was the best player on the floor in this game. 15 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, good versatility, pair of made threes. Now, J.D. Notte did wind up taking 29 shots in this contest on 21 points. He did his best Carmelo Anthony impression, which every time the ball wound up going to him, he was like a black hole and the ball was not coming out. But that said, Arkansas was able to do a very solid job of being able to play even up on the glass. Gonzaga won that battle 45-42. With their size, you'd expect that to be a little bit better. And for Arkansas, defense was stifling. 15 turnovers of Gonzaga, 8 to Arkansas. That wound up being a big difference maker in this game, along with Gonzaga. Also shooting halfway decent at the free throw line, 15-20. It was better than they had been looking prior in the NCAA tournament. Arkansas, they went 9-14. You would have liked to see it a little bit better, but Arkansas, with their defense, they get it home. They get the job done. They're on to the Elite Eight. And then in the night session, we wound up having Duke be able to come back from a halftime deficit. They get the job done against Texas Tech by a count of 78-73. So Coach K's last ride, it will at minimum be going to the Elite Eight. By the way, first ever NCAA tournament win for Duke in the Pacific time zone. And the reason why they got the job done, Jeremy Roach, he did have 4 turnovers in this game, but 15 points, 5 assists. He wound up making some big plays on the stretch, 7 of 11 from the floor. Now, Texas Tech, they did a solid job on the glass. They won the rebound battle by a count of 33-29, but Duke made their free throws, 15 of 17 at the line. Meanwhile, Texas Tech, they go 5-9 at the charity stripe. Duke, they did wind up losing the turnover battle by a count of 10-8, but Mark Williams was able to do some solid things down low, 3 blocks, 16 points, and then you had Paolo Banchero, 22 points. So that's going to set up a sizzler between they and Arkansas. I know that many people are not necessarily seeing what I'm seeing with regards to Arkansas. Don't worry, the full podcast breakdown of that game is going to be coming up tomorrow once we wind up getting the Elite Eight games going. So don't worry, I will be explaining why like Arkansas in that game. And then you've got Houston. They wind up taking down Arizona by a count of 72-70. Kirk Risso wound up playing in this game 19 minutes. He went 1 of 7 from the floor. His 1-3 that he made was actually a relatively timely 3, but boy oh boy, he did not wind up doing a lot for Arizona. As Houston, they win the rebound battle 37-35. They do wind up turning the ball over 12 times, but they force Arizona into 14 turnovers. You wound up having Taze Moore in all sorts of foul trouble, and it did not matter because you had Jamal Sheed coupled with Kyler Edwards combined for 40 points with Mr. Shetty. They wind up having 5 turnovers in this game, but 9 of 10 at the free throw line for Houston, 17 of 25 at the charity stripe. That is a little bit of a concern that you've got to be having with this Houston team, especially now that they're going to be going up against the number one free throw shooting team in all of college basketball in Villanova. But no fears with regards to the way that they are able to defend the three. Arizona, 7 of 22 from distance in this game. They had 18 made buckets, 14 turnovers. So Houston gets the job done. They are on to the Elite Eight. If you take a look at what we wound up getting on Thursday, we wound up having a trio of underdogs being able to come through. The lone favorite that wound up coming through is Villanova, though. I know that there was a lot of line movement with regards to that Texas Tech versus Duke game late, but looking at what you wound up having overnight prior to the day, you wound up having 3 underdogs being able to come through, and you wound up having 1 over, and that was in the Duke versus Texas Tech game. So that's what we saw in college basketball on Thursday. Now we've got another great slate of Sweet 16 games, and coming up next, we're going to be talking to Kai McKeon about all of those. He does terrific work with the three-man weave, and he joins me next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eves Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family of Podcasts. And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eves Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family of Podcasts, and it is great to be joined by our guest, Kai McKeon. Does absolutely terrific work over there at the three-man weave, and all the gentlemen over there at the three-man weave, they do amazing work. You're able to follow them on Twitter at the number 3MW underscore CBB. And for Kai, who is a college hoops vigilant out there more towards the Midwest part of the country in the great state of Illinois, you're able to follow him on Twitter at Kai, the underscore in the middle of that, and then the number 3MW. And Kai, it is always great to get all of you gentlemen over there at the three-man weave aboard. And great to have you aboard today. Thank you.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you aboard. And Kai, we've got 4 great Sweet 16 games that are going to be going down today. But first things first, we've seen a lot of movement with regards to coaching carousel. As I'm doing this right now, we've seen over 750 names in the transfer portal. How wild has it been to see all this movement in college basketball with still the Sweet 16 going down as we wind up recording this? Because it's just absolutely insane to me how early things have been getting going with regards to this college basketball offseason.
Yeah, it is nuts. And I think by my count, there's something like 12 power jobs that flipped this year. That's certainly more, at least anecdotally, than I can remember in recent years. So yeah, there's tons of movement. Obviously, the transfer portal is getting hot and heavy. I assume the rule will remain intact in terms of immediate eligibility for most of these transfers. So it's going to be another crazy offseason, and hopefully that means good stuff for sports bettors out there.
Yep, I think that it's going to be really awesome to see what we wind up getting there. And what else is awesome is getting the Peacocks into the Sweet 16. They're going to be taking on Purdue. Line is right now 12.5, and with St. Peter's, they've been one of the better defensive teams in all of college basketball. KCU and Defu last season led all of college basketball in terms of block shots per game. Do you feel like this is an appropriate number, or do you see an edge either way? Because personally, I'm going to be taking a look at St. Peter's. I think that this has gotten up a little bit too lofty, but I want to hear your thoughts here, because obviously Purdue, the biggest favorite that we're seeing in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards Purdue, but granted, I also faded St. Peter's the last two rounds. I can't really figure out how this team is doing it. Certainly, they have a top 30 defense now in the country, but their offense was basically their best effort of maybe Holloway's tenure against Kentucky. It truly was incredible. So they're shooting a bit above their heads right now. I think they're playing a bit above their heads. Purdue's offense is better than both Kentucky and Murray State. And of course, they have big guys, Zach Edey, Travion Williams, who simply won't be stopped. Neither will Jaden Ivey. And you saw Purdue shoot, 46 free throws against Texas. That's going to be pretty similar here against St. Peter's, a team that fouls at a top 10 rate in the entire country.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens here, because last game that we wound up seeing with Purdue, they took over 30 more free throws than Texas. Think that maybe that wound up getting a little bit out of line, but certainly you got to expect that Purdue is going to be getting to the free throw line a whole heck of a lot more than our good friend St. Peter says. We do have Kai McKean of the Three Man Weave joining me on the podcast. The game that I've got the closest handicap on is Providence versus Kansas. Right now, Kansas finding themselves in a lot of places a 7.5-point favorite. I'm seeing a few other places a 7. I wound up saying this as a 7.5 personally, so I wound up taking an early 7 that I wound up seeing. I'm not sure where you stand on this one, because I know there's been people all year long screaming from the heavens that Providence is just really lucky. They're not necessarily this great, and I think that's somewhere in between. I think that Providence has gotten some good luck, but at the same time, it's a solid program with one of the better and more underrated coaches in all of college basketball, and Ike Cooley. But that said, I do think that Kansas survives, advances to the Elite Eight. What is your thoughts on this game? Because I do think that this is an interesting one to dive into.
Yeah, I think the spread's just a touch high. I like Providence on the number right now. I think Kansas will win. Yeah, you mentioned the luck, or are they actually good? I agree it's somewhere in between. I certainly have a lot of respect for Ike Cooley. But, I mean, just look at the Richmond game, right, last round. Richmond shot 1-for-22 from three. Providence was 12-for-21, something like that. Right there, I don't care how good defense you play. 1-for-22, a team like Richmond, that's what we call lucky. But they are a good team in close games. They played a lot of them. I think they can keep this game with Kansas within two possessions. Certainly, I have a lot of faith in Jared Byram, their point guard, and as I mentioned, Ed Cooley, fantastic coach. So KU's to win. I think Providence is to cover.
And if you look at shot quality as well, they actually had Providence losing that game against Richmond, which that just made me laugh so hard, because that was triggering a lot of Providence fans. And I mean, rightfully so, that they're a little bit upset with the short shrift that their team is getting right now. So it's going to be interesting to take a look at that one. And then I think the one that really is grabbing the most attention right now is the biggest blue blood matchup on the board. That would be North Carolina and UCLA. We have seen this line actually drop a little bit more. It was 2.5 throughout much of the week. Currently, we're seeing it at 2. I do not get why so many people are on the North Carolina bandwagon, just because I do think that the defense is a big issue for this team. We see North Carolina all season long, and they certainly are peaking at the right time, but with UCLA, they've been playing some absolutely tenacious defense. Tiger Campbell, who was a liability from three-point range all season long last year, he has really been able to pick that up. I like UCLA in this spot. I'm not sure if you agree or disagree with me, but I think that this is a good spot for the Bruins to get to the Elite Eight.
I'm leaning towards UNC, but to your UCLA points, it's funny how no one's really talking about them anymore. They were obviously a hot topic last year. They were a hot topic coming into the season as a national title contender, and they're one of three teams right now in the top 15 on offense and defense per KenPom. That's Houston, Gonzaga, and UCLA. So they have the making of a Final Four contender for sure. But I've been way more impressed with UNC during these first two games. They destroyed Marquette. They were destroying Baylor before Manek went out that game. And UCLA got frankly, a favorable matchup with Akron and St. Mary's. They almost lost to Akron, and they got a St. Mary's team that just couldn't compete athletically. I think UNC can compete athletically. They're way bigger, way more athletic than St. Mary's. I like the Tar Heels here at plus two.
I think that it's going to be a very fascinating game to see what we wind up getting out of North Carolina, because they have been one of the biggest risers in all of college basketball this season from where they were at the beginning of the season. As we do have Guy McKeon of the Three Man Weave joining me right here on the podcast, and we've got one other game that's involving an ACC school, and that'd be Miami versus Iowa State. From the opening number, this has been the biggest mover, because Iowa State, a lot of spots actually opened up a one-point favorite. Now they're a 2.5-point underdog. I do like Miami to be able to win the game outright, but I think that this is a little bit too big of a move, and if you're laying the 2.5 with Miami, you're just flat out getting a really bad number, in my opinion, as well. Got an Iowa State team that they really do a good job hanging their head on defense. Miami, certainly not a team that plays tremendous defense, but here in the NCAA tournament, I've been able to get it done on that side of the ball here in both games. Where do you wind up falling on this game? Because I think that this one might be the most fascinating and could set up a situation which Kansas winds up getting a double-digit seed in order to go to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I like Miami here. -2.5, not my preferred line, of course, like you mentioned. They're just a tough matchup for Iowa State. Iowa State relies on creating turnovers to spark their offense. They're fourth in the country in turnover rate on defense. Miami, sixth in the country in handling the ball. Their guards, one, are plentiful, and two, very talented. This will be the best offense Iowa State has faced in the tournament by far. Iowa State's first two opponents, LSU and Wisconsin, not quite as good on the offensive end. And Iowa State needs to score inside. They need to score in the interior here. And while Miami's not great on defense, I don't see Iowa State doing it very easily. They need to get out in transition as well. And like I said, their turnover rate won't really phase the Canes here. So I kind of like Miami. Either team probably loses to Kansas the next round, but certainly another great story. We see a double-digit seed in the Elite Eight.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I do think that it is going to be pretty much a walk for Kansas to be able to get to the Final Four. I think whoever of Iowa State versus Miami gets the job done here, they do wind up falling to Kansas. So I do think that that's going to be very intriguing to take a look at. And Kai, I know that you're going to be doing a great job taking a look at college basketball all throughout the offseason as well, because once we wind up getting the Elite Eight games done, we're down to the Final Four, and I'm going to be diving into a lot more of these coaching moves. We're going to be diving into the transfer portal. As I mentioned, it is going to be very hot and heavy. I know that I've had you guys over there at the Three Man Weave on all the last two off seasons, and I know that I'm going to be doing so once again. So love the good people at home. Know what's all on tap for you, says. I know that you guys are a little bit all over the place. Field of 68, Action Network, list goes on and on. So love the good people at home. Know how they're able to get your work in, just how they're able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Our Twitter handle is 3MW_CBB. That's where you can find all of our show information. We do have shows with the Action Network Friday and Saturday at 9:30 a.m. Central. Also have a Field of 68 show on there. And then our Final Four schedule is still kind of up in the air. We are going down to New Orleans, but we'll keep you guys posted on Twitter, 3MW_CBB.
Oh, absolutely. And the question becomes, what meal are you going to be getting in New Orleans? Because there are so many great restaurants down there.
I'm excited. I'm open to everything. I need a gumbo for sure. And I'm going to get a po' boy or two. Definite.
Oh, that is going to be absolutely tremendous. New Orleans, certainly a place in which they always say that you know that you've landed in New Orleans when you wind up smelling the urine, when you wind up going down to Bourbon Street.
Yep,
I know that our good friend at Visa, Mitch Moss, wound up saying that. So you guys have a lot of fun down there. It is going to be a tremendous Final Four. Depending upon which teams we wind up getting, it's going to be just absolutely amazing. And Kai and all the other gentlemen over there at the Three Man Weave do amazing work. So big thanks, Kai, for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. Coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this College Basketball Friday as we eat some bank shots. Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops-Fears, and now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. It is always a pleasure to get any of the gentlemen over there at the Three Man Weave aboard, and today it was Guy McKeon that joined me. Great insights as to the games that we are getting today, and Going to be interesting to talk with them in the offseason about all these coaching moves. The transfer portal getting hot and heavy as well. So, though we wound up having him on today, likely for the last time this college basketball season to break down games, we're going to be chatting with him a ton during the offseason. I'm sure that we're going to get Matt and Jim on sometime before the end of the season as well. Those gentlemen over there at the three-man weave, they do amazing work. Kai does amazing work. It's going to be absolutely incredible to see what we wind up getting these last few games. So, big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. They give you a sign total on every game on the betting board for this College Basketball Friday as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a sign and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at GUnit_81. Going to be going in Las Vegas tradition order. This is going to start with the two games out east, and then we're going to be going with the two games in the Midwest. And this starts with 631, 632 on the betting board. UNC and UCLA are going to be doing battle. UCLA is a two-point favorite, and your total on this game is 141.5. I want to make this total 145. You've got a North Carolina team that ranks right around 150th with regards to points allowed on a per-possession basis, and they are outside the top 200 with regards to opponent three-point shooting percentage. There's been a lot of question marks about Jaime Jaquez. He practiced. By all accounts, he looked pretty good. He is going to be in for this game unless we wind up seeing something unforeseen, and that's big. He's been a real glue guy for this team. 14 points, 5.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists. Not a great three-point shooter, but he, along with each of the team's top four scorers for UCLA, shoot at least 77% at the free throw line. They are nails. And on top of that, Tucker Campbell was a liability with regards to his jump shooting last season when this team wanted to make him the Final Four. And it's not the case anymore. He is a man that is shooting over 40% from three-point range for the campaign, has done a good job of helping out a UCLA team that is throwing the ball over 9.2 times per contest. In terms of turnovers on a per-possession basis, they rank in the top five in all of college basketball. On top of that, Cody Riley has been a nice asset to this team as well. 7.5 points, 4 rebounds per game. They're going to need he, along with what you've been able to get out of Miles Johnson, the Rutgers transfer, to do a little bit more against Armando Bako, because Bako is going to be the best rebounder in this game. For UCLA, he has been just a complete animal. 16.5 points, 12.5 rebounds, 1.7 blocks per contest. And then you've got RJ Davis, Caleb Love. They combined to shoot about 38% from 3, 84% at the free throw line, and a combined about 29 points per contest. Both gentlemen give you 3.7 assists per game. UCLA is going to need to try to turn this team over a little bit more as well, because North Carolina has done a good job taking care of the ball. 11.7 turnovers per game, but you do take a look at this UCLA team, and they are playing some absolutely stifling defense. With regards to points allowed on a per-possession basis, this is one of the best units in all of college basketball. They currently rank 28th with that regard. So I do think that that is going to be very big in this game, and North Carolina is a team that they really rely upon the three ball. Brady Manick, the guy that wound up being ejected from the game against Baylor, 15 points per contest. He's been able to shoot 39.5% from three, and you take a look at it, the last 30 days, he has been shooting over 40% from three with more like 18 points per contest. I do think, though, that UCLA is going to do a good job of being able to shut down the arc. This is a team that, in road and neutral court games, allows opponents to shoot 32.2% from three-point range. I think that North Carolina not going to be able to do that, and I do think that the experience of these UCLA guards going to be able to come through here. Defense wins championships. I like UCLA in this spot. A team has given up 70 points or fewer in regulation in all but one of their games over the past month. So I do want to send this one at 145. I think that North Carolina has a relatively solid shot to get to 70, but I think in return they're going to be giving up 75. So I'm laying the points with UCLA, set them as a 5-point favorite, made my total 145. So we're looking over as well. DK Nation pick is up next. 633, 634 on the betting board. Purdue and St. Peter's. St. Peter's is a 12.5 point underdog, and your total on this game is anywhere between 133 and 134. We quote the great Mark Wahlberg, "I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly. Let it fly with the Peacocks." They are the second best cover team in all of college basketball, 22-9 against the spread. Casey Undefu last year led all of college basketball in terms of block shots per game, and this is a St. Peter's team that they actually do a solid job down low. Now, they're going to be outgunned with regards to size. I mean, Zach Edey is just a giant of the earth. He and Travion Williams combined for about 15 rebounds per game, but you've got Undefu along with the Drames, Fusani and Asan Drame. All these guys combined to be able to give you right in the neighborhood above 17 rebounds per game. With Ndefu, he's also able to give you a little bit over a steal per game. And this is a St. Peter's team that is no joke on defense. They are in the top 20 in all of college basketball in terms of opponents' three-point shooting percentage. And then you take a look at the amount of points allowed on a per-possession basis. St. Peter's is 11th in the country. Now, they do allow right around 12.5 points more per 100 possessions when they're in a road and neutral court environment. But this is a Purdue team that in their last
eight games. They're shooting 32.6% from three-point range. We've seen a big fall off there. Jaden Ivey, still solid. Guy that's able to give you right around five boards, 15 to 16 points per game. So he's going to be able to get his. Sasha Stefanovic shooting 40% from three-point range, double-figure score. He's been rock solid as well. But you take a look at what you've been able to get out of the St. Peter's backcourt, and they have really been able to come of age. Daryl Banks, the third, has been able to give you 11.5 points, shooting 38% from three, 85.5% at the free throw line. Matthew Lee is a guy that's able to shoot in the mid-30s from three-point range and away from home, 41.7% from distance. The big bugaboo for St. Peter's has been turnovers all year long. 14 turnovers per contest. They're in the bottom one arm with regards to turnovers on a per-possession basis, but Purdue, out of 358 D1 teams, they're in the bottom 35 with regards to turnovers force on a per-possession basis in a road and neutral court environment. This is a Purdue team that, per 100 possessions, when they're away from West Lafayette, they give up 102.3 points. That is outside the top 150 in all of college basketball. I think that St. Peter's stays very alive in this game. They're going to lose a little bit of the battle on the glass, but Doug Eater, too, looks like he should be probably playing like the acoustic guitar at some random coffee shop, has been able to come through in a big way for the St. Peter's offense. Guy that's been able to average right around 10 points per contest, but 13 plus in each out of the last three games. He's a guy that has had four turnovers in those last four games as well, as able to give you a couple rebounds. I think that the Peacocks are going to stay live, and we're going to let them fly in this spot. To quote the great Mark Wahlberg, we are going to be taking the points with St. Peter's, set them as a 9-point underdog. That is a DK Nation pick. I did wind up setting this total at a 135. With the way that St. Peter's has been playing, I think that you could wind up getting a little bit of late game fouling. St. Peter's only shooting about 68% at the free throw line, but it has actually went up in recent games. So DK Nation pick is going to be the points with St. Peter's, and we're taking a look at an over as well. 635, 636 on the betting board. You've got yourself Providence and Kansas. Kansas, in a lot of spots, wound up finding themselves as a 7.5-point favorite a little bit earlier on Thursday. You're seeing that come down to 7 in a lot of spots, and your total on this game, it is 141.5. I set my handicap at 7.5. I was sort of on the fence when it was 7.5. Now that it's at 7, I'm going to be laying a 7 with Kansas. Already have, as a matter of fact, laid a 7 with Kansas, but this just sharpens the, I guess you'd call it, lean a little bit more. So I am all aboard with regards to the Jayhawks. I do think that Providence is a team that's going to be able to do a relatively decent job from three-point range. In road and neutral court games, a top 25 team with regards to opponents' three-point shooting percentage. Now, the problem is, with regards to both offensive and defensive efficiency, Providence is outside the top 75. They've been able to pull out a lot of close games, but I think that they're going to be outgunned on the glass a little bit more. I do like the game of Nate Watson along with Noel Horkler. Both of these guys have done a good job being sort of a fire and ice combination down low. They combined to be able to give you 23.5 points per game. Watson is a little bit more of a true postman, but it's actually Horkler that gives you 8.5 rebounds per game to go along with this 41% three-point shooting. Watson a little bit more of a rim protector with 5.5 rebounds to Jared Bynum. I mean, how incredible is this? This year, he's shooting right around 42% from three-point range, 51.5% in a road and neutral court environment. He shot 11.9% from three-point range last season. You gotta feel like there's gonna be a little bit of regression there. We were talking about it with our good friend Kai McKeon, the fact that they held Richmond to 1-22 three-point shooting, and I don't think that that's gonna be the case in this one. And with Kansas, the ultimate X factor for them, Remy Martin, a guy that last season while he was at Arizona State, 19.5 points, 3.5 assists, a little bit over a steal per contest. He has really been able to do a good job here down the stretch. He has given the team in the last four games 10, 12, 15, and 20 points. He is looking like the All-American candidate that we are expecting coming into the year. And on top of that, he has been able to give the team a combined 15 assists to one turnover in these last three games. You add in there Christian Braun, 14.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, 40% three-point shooter, and then the All-American candidate in Oshae Ogbaji. A little bit under 19.5 points, 5 boards, one of the best on-ball defenders in all of college basketball. I do like the game of Al Durham, but I do think that Kansas, with the way that they've been playing defense, giving up 70 points or fewer in now 6 out of their last 7 games, they're going to be able to get the job done against the Providence team that they themselves, 61 points or fewer, giving up in 3 out of their last 4 games. I think that this is going to be a little bit lower scoring. Reason why I do think that Kansas has a great chance to be able to win the title is the coming of age of their defense, and I think that they're going to continue that here. Set Kansas as a 7.5 point favorite on my line, so I'm looking to lay a 7, and total on this game, I set it at a 137.5, I'm going under. And then we've got the final game of 637, 638, Miami and
and Iowa State. Cyclones are a 2.5-point underdog with your total on this game, 133. I said Miami is a 2-point favorite. On the opener, you had great value with Miami when they were a 1-point underdog. Line has went a little bit too far here. At 2.5, I'm willing to take the points with Iowa State. I think that this is going to be a slow and grimy game in Miami, much like Wisconsin, one of the best teams at being able to control the ball. Wisconsin was the number one team in all of college basketball with regards to fewest turnovers on a per offensive play basis. Prior to them playing against Iowa State completely stymied them. Now, I think that Miami is going to be able to hold up a little bit more, and I do think that they're going to get the job done against an Iowa State team that ranks outside the top 225 with regards to points scored on a per possession basis. But you just take a look at the way that this Iowa State Cyclones defense has been stifling, and it has been absolutely incredible. In terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, you've got an Iowa State team that is number 10 in all of college basketball. They do a good job of being able to rip the ball away, 8.5 steals per contest, and then Isaiah Brockington is going to be able to keep this team alive. For all the deficiencies that you wind up having with this Iowa State offense, he has been nothing short of amazing for this team. A guy that's able to give you 17 points, 7 rebounds, from 3-point range at 6-for-4, shooting right around 36.5% from 3 now. Away from Ames, he has been shooting more around 31% from distance. That is a little bit of an issue. Guy that can sometimes get a little bit of happy feet with the ball, 4 turnovers per contest, but with Miami, you really don't have a lot down low. Jordan Miller is able to give you 6 rebounds per game. It's a Miami team that has a negative rebound rate, so that's a tad bit of an issue. Now, Cam Agusi, Isaiah Wong, both of these guys combined to be able to give you 33 points and 4.5 assists per contest. And with Miami, this is also a team that they do a good job of being able to pickpocket. 8.7 steals per contest. If you're looking at steals on a per possession basis, you've actually got two of the better teams they're able to find, not just in the NCAA tournament, but in all of college basketball, because you've got an Iowa State team that they clock in the top 12 of all of college basketball in that regard. In Miami, they rank 9th, so I do think that you're going to have a lot of sloppy possessions in this game. Iowa State and Miami both have proven to be able to be very pesky and very tough on the road. It is an Iowa State team that they have not really been scoring the ball much, 68 points or fewer in every one of their games here in the month of March. Meanwhile, it's a Miami team that all of a sudden they've been able to give up fewer than 70 points in 3 of their last 4 games, and one of those games was an overtime contest. So I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a lower scoring game. Set this total at 130. I think that Miami is going to have just enough to be able to get the job done. They're a team that they shoot 74.5% at the free throw line. With Iowa State, this is a bunch that they shoot more in the pocket, about 68.5% at the free throw line, with Brockington being the only among your top 6 scorers shooting above 71.6% at the free throw line. So I do think that in the end, that is going to be a little bit of an issue. And on top of that, Brockington, only guy that gives you more than 4 rebounds per game. So I think that's going to be a grimy, slow game. In the end, I think Miami pulls it out, but going to set them as a 2-point favorite. I'm willing to take 2.5 here with Iowa State, and I'm looking under. And that will wrap things up for the Friday edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. And a big thanks to Kai McKeon for joining me in the last segment. If you like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, one of two ways we'll fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please send these into the timeline. And the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review, coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season and into the off season as well, which means I'll be coming at you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.